Hour number two, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Michelle Knazovic here with you on this Wednesday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. We'll have Paul Kuharsky from paulkuharsky.com coming up at 8 o'clock. Right now, taking your thoughts on the Titans, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025, and discussing the question that Derek Mason threw out there yesterday on Chase Willie and D-Mace: has Mike Vrabel reached his ceiling as head coach of the Tennessee Titans? Taking your thoughts, 615-737-1025. Jeff on the text line says, Vrabel could win a Super Bowl with a slightly above average roster. He can do more with less. This from Jeff on the text line. Now, I would disagree with that, because you can't tell me that last year's roster was slightly above average. Like, I think I had a pretty good roster last year. You had A.J. Brown, had a good defense. You had Derrick Henry. Like, all those guys were healthy in the playoff game. And your quarterback threw three picks.
Yeah, look, has he done more with less? I agree. I think sometimes people exaggerate how much more with right. How much less. And I know now, and you know, and this is where it's – this discussion now that Robinson's been fired.
Yep.
It's – someone gets – you know, it's just like before everybody had to come to terms with A.J. Brown's really awesome. You know, I was like, yeah, good riddance. And now it's going to be, Vrabel's been coaching this, USFL team to, you know, what they got? Nobody. Look, I mean, Vrabel got to the AFC Championship game, a tremendous coaching job that year, tremendous turnaround that year. You had a really good offensive line once it got going. You had Derrick Henry at his peak, a dominant offensive weapon. A.J. Brown, tremendous player who second half of rookie year especially became a load. Corey Davis, Jonnu Smith, and, you know, on the other side, you had a lot of good players, too. Jeffrey Simmons starting to, as a rookie. I mean, Simmons and Brown as rookies in the playoff run started to be like, oh, wow, these guys are an issue. I mean, that was a good roster. They've had good rosters. They've had really good rosters. So it's not like Vrabel's doing this with shoestring, you know, and duct tape and whatever. I agree. Like, look, I think that the defensive plugins and everything and how they've been able to get good play is a great example of coaching staff being able to figure things out. Now, the interesting thing is, and this is all under Vrabel, this is all under the Vrabel umbrella. Well, they haven't had the same success on the offensive side of the ball with that. So why is that?
It's a great question. It's a great question. Let's go back to the text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Glenn from Laverne. Coach Vrabel may have reached his ceiling with this group of players, but I think as a whole, with a healthy team, I think he's excelled. If he makes it past the second round with the group he has currently, he's a coaching god. This from Glenn on the text line. Well, I will say, if he makes it to the past the second round, if he makes it to the title game this year, that would be quite something. This group.
That would be. Look.
I don't anticipate that either.
You know, they have a – again, just the protection of Tannehill is an issue, and the receivers are an issue. They can still be a defensive team before this year's over that can give them a chance in a lot of different matchups. The season's not over. But on the discussion, the bottom line is you want Vrabel as your coach, and a lot of teams would take him right now. I think D-Mace – again, like if you're just going to ignore, like he said, I don't care about the quarterback. How can you say that? You don't care about, because I would like to see Mike Vrabel. Now, I will say this too, and this is a little bit more of a college football thing. There are some coaches who just seem to prefer do more with less and, you know, don't do as well. And of course, I think of Dan Mullen in particular. Like, I still am shocked that Dan Mullen at Florida didn't work out beautifully. He did a tremendous job at Mississippi State. Ask Jeff Simmons. And yep. He goes to Florida where everything should have been in place for him to do big things. It didn't work out. I mean, Mike Leach, we've talked about him. You know, of course, we're going to talk about him more today. It's almost like he preferred to kind of be at places where, you know, like you have to try to make up the gap with your coaching. Which is what he did. He made up the gap of talent gap his entire career with scheming. But I think Vrabel would go ahead and take a franchise quarterback and be okay with it.
That's what I was going to say, because we've talked so much this year about the roster. And look, Ryan Tannehill, to his credit, I think has played pretty well this year, especially given the circumstances. Now, one thing we talked about, only thing we talked about last offseason was how do you win a Super Bowl? Like, what's the next step of getting the team to the Super Bowl, and what quarterback is that going to be? Because it's not going to be Ryan Tannehill. I mean, we talked about that all offseason. And I don't know. Let me ask you, if you had to identify right now today the three favorites in the AFC to reach the Super Bowl, who would they be?
The three favorites in the AFC, I still definitely am going, you know, Buffalo and Kansas City. I mean, are the two. I mean, I'm just going to stick with Kansas City because of that guy, right? Because ultimately, I think he finds a way to make plays. So I'm with Buffalo, and I'm probably at this point, I mean, I'm probably going Bengals. I mean, I probably would go Bengals third. The way they're playing, the way Burrow's playing, their defense getting better. Yeah, so there you go. So Allen, Burrow, Mahomes.
Those are exactly my three.
Yeah.
Allen, Burrow, Mahomes. And that's what so much of this conversation comes down to. Like, let me ask you. Like, I'll throw the same thing at you that D-Mace threw yesterday. Who would you rather have? Zach Taylor or Mike Vrabel? I'm going Vrabel.
Yeah, me too.
Now, Andy Reid, we can have a conversation. I think I'd probably go Andy Reid.
Sure.
But – you know, Sean McDermott, who'd you rather have, him or Vrabel? I'm probably going Vrabel. Difference is, Vrabel doesn't have one of those guys at the quarterback position. And, you know, I don't know if he'll ever get one of those guys at the quarterback position. And so much of this league is about that, getting that guy at quarterback. And it's a very difficult thing to do.
I think another thing with Vrabel as a coach is I think people have come around. I think people, and I've seen this, so I'm not just making this up, kind of assume Vrabel is like, he just wants to play 90s football, bully ball, and stuff. I think Vrabel has done what a good coach should do, which is identify your talent and then build around your talent. He didn't know in 2018 that Derrick Henry was going to be this, clearly. I've seen someone this week, I think it was in a comment on something I wrote in The Athletic, was like, I mean, Robinson wanted to trade Derrick Henry during the season. I'm like, so my response was, so do you think that Vrabel was sitting there like, he's about to be a superstar, John? Don't you dare. I mean, he had him third on the depth chart when they played the Patriots in 2018, and David Flewellen tore his knee up. And so they had to put Derrick Henry in the game, and then he played well in that game, and we know what happened. He didn't know. So, but then when it emerged that Derrick Henry is this just, like, you got to – build around it. When Vrabel came in here, all the talk was, okay, you and your OC, how are you going to maximize Marcus Mariota? And they had an offense that attempted to do that. It's the same newfangled West Coast offense that a lot of these teams run. It's the same offense they run now. You know, they had Deion Lewis in here to be the pass-catching back. I mean, so, like, Vrabel will adjust to his talent. It's just that they have been built around Derrick Henry, and I would build around Derrick Henry, too, based on how he was playing, right?
Yeah.
But I think people get hung up on, like, that's what he wants to do his entire career. If Vrabel – like, Sean McDermott's a defensive guy like Vrabel, too. And I think he's very good. I think that's actually a debate. I don't think it's, like, clear-cut, Vrabel over McDermott. But I would go Vrabel. But it's close. I would go Andy Reid. You know why? Because Andy Reid, first of all, I just think he has a great demeanor as a coach. He has gotten over the hump in the playoffs now. He's had, right, that's over. That was a narrative with him forever. He screws up the clock or whatever in the playoffs. But his creativity and what they do to take advantage of their weapons is
second
fantastic.
Yep.
And that's where Vrabel, moving forward, first of all, if you gave Vrabel a Mahomes or an Allen, do you think that they'd be like, I don't care, I'm handing the ball off to – who the heck, Pacheco, you get 25 handoffs. No, they're going to run that. I mean, they're going to maximize what they have, you know, and their talent. So I do think that the question is, and someone said it earlier, and I agree, like, you got to go out there and you got to find the people who can do the job the best. Coordinators are so huge in this league. And I think that his last hire, more and more it appears, just wasn't good enough.
Well, and speaking of that, they still have games to play this season. The offensive line is what it is. And Vrabel has made it clear this week that he's not making any changes right now on the coaching staff, at least until the season is over. So what do they do as they move forward here? We'll get to that coming up next. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game.
Chargers last night, and what are the challenges they present to your defense?
Well, I mean, they throw the football, and you know, they're going to commit to it. They've got young quarterback with a live arm and good skill players. Like, you know, we'll have to worry about the Chargers and our ability. We got to correct some mistakes here today.
That's Mike Vrabel on Monday at his press conference. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. We are streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook. Our video streaming brought to you by the law offices of Amanda J. Gentry. I got some tickets to give away to see the Preds take on the Montreal Canadiens at Bridgestone Arena coming up on Tuesday, January the 3rd. Be caller number 3-615-737-1025. 615-737-1025. Caller number 3 will win a pair of tickets to see the Preds take on the Montreal Canadiens at Bridgestone Arena coming up on Tuesday, January 3rd. 615-737-1025. So Joe Vrabel made it clear earlier this week on his coach's show that no moves on the coaching staff are going to be made in the middle of the season. I mean, I don't think that's a big surprise as we sit here in week, 14, 15 at this point?
Yeah.
A lot of season running out. So,
is this to say then that a fan asked him?
Yeah.
It was a fan question in there? Yeah. That was good of them to conclude that particular question.
It was. So we know that no moves are going to be made on that front in the season. So this is going to be what they have. Obviously, Todd Downing's going to be the OC. The coaching staff's going to be what it is so far as they move ahead. And right now we know the roster. We can talk about the offensive line. We've talked about it for 15 weeks to this point. Dennis Daly's going to be starting left guard, left tackle for the Tennessee Titans. And
I thought you had breaking news on starting left guard.
Jeez. I don't know if that – would that be better?
I don't know.
I don't know if it would either.
I don't know, man.
I don't know either. So what should they do? How do you maximize this, I guess, is the best question as you move forward.
Well, look, without knowing the ins and outs of how often does Vrabel pipe in and all these things, they're all they're all talking on the headsets. But I think giving Tim Kelly a look as a play caller, which, again, would never be announced to any of us, but is worth a shot. Look, I mean, the thing is, I don't know where it's going to go after the season. I certainly think there's a chance that Todd Downing would be fired. And I think, I agree with people who say ultimately as a head coach in this league, you got to have talent. Hopefully you have a great quarterback. You got to have great coordinators. Anybody who looks at the Shane Bowen path could look at that and say, see, everybody was sure he was bad. Shane Bowen, I think, is going to get a head coaching job. I think he should be a real candidate for that. But I think that Tim Kelly would be almost my odds-on favorite to be the OC next year, except I still think I would make Downing the favorite because I still have my doubts that Vrabel is going to listen to what anybody else says and make a move on a coach that he clearly trusts and believes in as an overall coach. Now, Amy Adams Strunk may have something to say about that. I don't know. We know for sure now that she's
she'll step in there.
Yeah, she'll step in there. But I would still make Downing my favorite. Which I know anybody who hears that right now is I'm not anybody, but a lot of Titans fans would probably groan. But I would say it's really close between him and Tim Kelly. To me, I think giving Tim Kelly a look as a play caller might be something to think about here. I mean, look, it's a disruption if you did something like that, and it kind of makes clear to Downing what the situation is. But, I mean, you got to take advantage of whatever you have on your staff right now. And, again, the Titans were – apparently more interested in Kelly than Downing at the time when they looked to interview him and got blocked. So let's keep that in mind when he was with the Texans.
Yeah, I mean, we've talked about this from the moment he was hired. Like, it always felt like it was a little different. Now, as far as I can tell, I don't know that it's been all that different than the Jim Schwartz move they made in terms of the operation. Like, I'm not sure, totally sure, exactly what role Tim Kelly has played. How much influence has he had over the play calling? How much influence has he had on play design? I mean, I don't know the answers to all these things. Now, I will say, I think when that move was made, everybody's like, well, Tim Kelly, he needs to be the guy calling plays. It's basically him as the offensive coordinator right now. And we've talked about this year. Like, with the offense looking the way that it's looked, if you're going to blame Todd Downing and you're going to blame Mike Vrabel, like, he's part of that. Tim Kelly's here.
No,
he's
a part of that. No, you're exactly right. That's right. Like, if the overall design, the overall product is something you think is bad in the passing game, well, then he's the passing game coordinator. And look, again, now we go back around to the guy who got fired and the fact that you can't protect quarterback at left tackle and the fact that you struggle to get open downfield. So tell me what offense – and that's the argument in support of Downing, which some people don't want to hear, but Todd Downing has not had the advantages that some offensive coordinators have. So it's all – that's the thing. It's all tied together. And so if you're Vrabel and you want to bring Todd Downing back, that's what you would point to, right? Is that we have this, and this injury and that injury. I see on the text, and we got people saying the next person to get fired is whoever's in charge of keeping these players healthy. Fire the trainer.
Maybe time to ask Vrabel
about
that
doctors. Yeah, I know. But hey, it's one for whatever reason they've had struggles, and I've said that before. Before Amy Adams Strunk jumped in and fired John Robinson in the season, I've said it for like, I know if I were Amy Adams Strunk, I would be saying, guys, what are we doing? Do we need more milk? Do we need more calcium? Do we need more vitamin C? You know, more fish, more broccoli? Like, what's going on? I mean, you're gonna ask every question because it's absurd how injured they've been.
It is. I mean, it's worth turning over every stone to try to see if you can figure out what the answer to that is. You know, first off, I'm very intrigued by the idea you threw out there, like of Tim Kelly maybe being the play caller. I would not expect that to happen for the Titans as they move forward here. But, like, to me, number one, beyond the idea of just changing things up and maybe getting a different look and maybe that helps you offensively, and I know Vrabel probably wouldn't operate this way, but also, like, the other part of this, like, wouldn't you want to get maybe a feel of how the offense does operate with him as the play caller if you're seriously considering him being the play caller next year? I know, look, you're 7-6. You're in a playoff race right now. It's probably not the ideal time to start doing that and making some changes that way. But, I mean, the offense is what it is. We've talked about it. It's not good enough. So would there not be some benefit if you were seriously considering making a move and for Tim Kelly to be the guy next year, would there be some benefit to maybe getting an early look and seeing what that looks like?
I mean, just give him the second halves. Like,
well, maybe.
For whatever reason,
that might be a good
5.4 points a game. And second halves is just – and look, the coaching adjustments thing, I think this is one of those sports cliches that I think you're always adjusting, you know, in a game. You have a few more minutes at halftime, so you know you can say, let's do this, you know, so you have that little break. But, like, you should be adjusting throughout the game. So I think sometimes that's overrated. But if it's consistently bad after halftime, I do have to wonder, like, how much does that go on Downing?
Yeah.
I think it's got to go some on Downing.
Well, it can't just be a player thing. Like, it can't be. And we talked about this, and I think that's kind of the heart of what Kaharski was digging at on Monday, and we're going to have him coming up at 8 o'clock. Interested to get his thoughts on this. Like, we talk about player, but in the second half, the numbers are what they are. That's got to be at least a little bit on coaching. Like, to me, you can't have that big of a disconnect and a consistent pattern. Like, what did they score, 8 points in the second half on Sunday, and that average went up?
That's an absolute
it's like just an
avalanche. They got that
offense.
Touchdown in the two. Yeah.
Like, that can't
almost
just be,
doubled their average.
Yeah. I mean, that can't just be a player thing in the second half.
And Vrabel, those answers were basically putting it all on the players. So, again, you know, Vrabel, back to the Vrabel discussion. DNA is everything. Not perfect, you know? But I think he's pretty good. I think there's a lot more good than bad. But that's the same thing with John Robinson, who's now fired. Dave says, should we model our future after the Eagles offense, an okay passer who can run? No one wants to get an okay passer as their quarterback. Thing is, Hurts has been way better than an okay passer this year.
Yes.
I don't know if that's going to continue, but he has been. Now, I do think that quarterback with enough athleticism, like Joe Burrow to me is like the floor of, like, he's good enough to get out of the pocket. like the statue quarterback, it's hard for that to hard for that to work anymore. You know?
Yeah.
I mean, Tannehill's not that either, by the way, when he's healthy.
The days of Brady are gone by. Can't just stand there.
I mean, how many –
Brady can move around a little bit.
Like, yeah.
Kind of.
Yeah. But he – like Dan Marino. That's my classic, you know. I mean, shoot, Peyton.
Yeah.
Really, right? I mean, Peyton. If you're that good, though, if you're that good at getting the ball out to the spot, then you're fine. But I think most of these guys coming out now, the athleticism to be able to make some plays with your feet is kind of a prerequisite, isn't it?
Well, speaking of that, I mean, there's a quarterback that's out there
that is
a former Titan who has plenty of athleticism but doesn't look like he's going to be using it anymore this year. We'll get into a very interesting situation brewing down with the Atlanta Falcons involving Marcus Mariota and Arthur Smith coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game.
With the second pick in the 2015 NFL Draft, the Tennessee Titans select Marcus Mariota, quarterback, Oregon.
Oh, what a day that was in the history of the Titans organization. By the way, I never get tired of hearing that clip. Like,
ridiculous.
You're Roger Goodell. You've known for months that he and Jameis Winston are going to be some combination of 1 and 2 in the draft. And you get up there, Marcus Mariota. You nailed it, Roger. Way to go, buddy.
And the crazy thing, that's not the traditional butchering.
I mean,
the butchering continues with Mariota, but he had everything but the last vowel right, and then he totally blows it.
I know there's an A there, Roger, but yep, roll with it.
Yeah, seriously. Like, you had, like, he only won the Heisman, you know. Was talked about all year.
I don't understand how people have so much trouble with it.
I will say that, like, actually that year he won the Heisman, I'm pretty sure, because I know I said it, I think most of the country thought it was Mariota.
Oh, yeah.
The Falcons still do. Remember when I was there a couple weeks ago and I said.
The PA guy was saying?
Yeah.
That's right.
Then again,
Mariota!
I shouldn't comment on pronunciations because we all know. I have trouble with our local team here.
You call him Marcus Mariota.
Well, good news for him is, like, the doesn't look like the Falcons PA guy is going to have to worry about it anymore, because apparently Marcus Mariota not with the team down there in Atlanta. It was announced. We talked about this last week. So the Falcons had their bye week last week, and it was announced, I think, a week and a half ago that they were making the transition to Desmond Ridder as the starting quarterback. And then I saw the other day there was a report that – Marcus Mariota was going on IR with a knee injury. And I was like, oh, well, okay, so they're not really making a switch. He's hurt. And then Arthur Smith gets up and talks to the media and basically makes it sound like Marcus Mariota's just left the team. What he said, the quote was, quote, there's a knee injury that he's dealing with.
A chronic knee injury.
And the quote from Arthur Smith was, quote, it's nothing that's been an issue this season, but that's their prerogative. So, of course, you want all your guys to be here, but guys have to make decisions. It's part of professional sports. You have to have contingency plans. That makes it sound like, to me, Joe, Marcus Mariota got the starting job taken away from him and basically said, you know what? You got this knee issue I need to get taken a look at. We'll see you guys later.
Yeah, I got to say, it's very unimpressive. It is weak, and I know you're just relishing this because you hate him so much. But
I've said many times, I love Marcus Mariota here on the show.
This is a take my ball and go home move from Marcus. Like,
it really is.
It's a Kyler Murray move.
And the thing is, like, they're in the race still, and I'm sure he's upset and disappointed, but it's not like he's been setting the world on fire. Now I guess if you're him, like, you're like, yeah, we're in the race. You're going to go the rookie. But who knows what might happen? mean, if you're Arthur Smith, this has got to be infuriating to you.
Yeah.
Because you need that depth. I mean, they went out and got freaking Logan Woodside. He's their backup now. What would Arthur Smith do without his AAA team here in Nashville?
I got to say, I was really surprised by this. Like, in all seriousness, I know that we joke about Mariota a lot, but I mean, I am serious when I say he's a pretty good guy. Obviously a good teammate, at least has been, because teammates love him. Like, people here in Nashville in that locker room love the guy. Absolutely love the guy. I mean, we talked about A.J. Brown and calling him the best leader he's ever been around, all that stuff.
Wasn't a shot at Tannehill. Right. It was because that's what he thought.
Well, Taylor Lewan on, you know, Bussing with the Boys has talked about, you know, just loving Mariota. Like, almost to a man, people talked about how much they love Mariota. Now, you know, we've heard comments from Eric Decker and DeMarco Murray about leadership style.
Yeah,
and
not being vocal enough.
A little bit more vocal, but never really a bad word about Marcus Mariota. This is a pretty tough look for Marcus down there in Atlanta. Like, this is essentially, like you said, taking your ball, going home, and quitting on the team.
It is. And they need the depth, and you never know when. I mean, honestly, if I were Arthur Smith, even making this switch, I'm still doing like some of what the Raiders did with Mariota last year, right?
Yeah.
Like, it's really disappointing, honestly. And I'm sure it's disappointing for him to lose. He had his opportunity. He did okay with it. He had some good weeks. He had some big plays. He had some bad weeks. He had some bad plays. I mean, he's a fringe bottom of the league starter right now. And I don't know. Does this hurt him? You could make the discussion about like opt-outs in bowl games too. And like, what do GMs think? Do they look at this and say, "Ooh, I don't want that on my team"? I still think overall Mariota, like you said, I mean, he's such a respected and liked and quality human, you know, that I don't know that this sabotages him, but it can't help him. I mean, it's just a bad look.
Well, I guess my question for him would be like, what exactly did you think was going to happen here? I mean, honestly, he's made it farther than I thought he would in terms of games played this year. Now, some of that is because they play in an absolute cheeks division and they've been alive. And look, he's had some moments this year where he's played well and looked good, but the numbers are what they are, and they took Desmond Ridder in the draft. Like, did you think that you're just going to be the starting quarterback in Atlanta for the next 5 years? Like, that would be my question. Like, what exactly did you think was going to happen when they took Desmond Ridder as their quarterback? He was going to play at some point. Quite frankly, I think most people would have expected him to be in there prior to this. So I don't understand this reaction from Mariota. Like, I understand. Look, it's got to be frustrating. I'm not saying it's not frustrating. Also, there's a little bit of reality that I think you got to come to terms with. Your numbers are what they are. Quite frankly, you're not very good. So I don't know. I don't really know why this is a reaction that comes to mind for Mariota.
Yeah, I never would have guessed it. Because, look, even here, you're talking about, you know, talking about the number two pick. And from everything I saw, I mean, gosh, even like go back to the AFC title game. And I know at that point it had been plenty of time to come to terms with, of course. But like AFC title game, Tannehill, it's clear at the end of the game the Titans are not going to beat the Chiefs. They're not going to go to the Super Bowl. And NFL Films had the conversation with Mariota and Tannehill. I don't know if you saw this. You probably thought it was lame of Mariota or something, but
I did not.
But Mariota was like, "Hey, you know what? You're gonna get here again, man. You know how many times? Like, you know what's ahead for you?" And you know, Tannehill's just like, "I'm so mad." But I was like, "See, that's just a good dude, you know, to be that supportive, even though he lost his job." And like Mariota that day, I shook everybody's hand, and you know, he's like, "Yeah, well, we'll see what's in the future." And then I was like, "Hey, man, it's been good to know you, Marcus. Take care." You know, because we all, like, yeah. You know, it's like, this is the last time.
Hey, man.
Yeah, it's we don't expect you to say, "I know that this was the last moment I'll be with the Tennessee Titans," but we all knew. And it's just everything about him, everything you hear or see was always very impressive and positive. And, yeah, I just don't know why now all of a sudden it's like, "Okay, bye." I mean, that's like what Clowney did here. You know, Clowney gets hurt. He's like, "Well, okay, I'm just going to go to Texas now. Good luck with the rest of the season, guys. Couldn't care less what you do."
I don't know if you saw the clip.
That's a clowny-like move from Mariota. Oh, I just said Mariota.
Right, and I don't know if you saw the clip from Arthur Smith, but like you could tell he was pretty frustrated.
He's ticked.
Yeah, like he was pretty mad.
I don't blame him at all.
Yeah.
Because if you're him and you're thinking about this whole situation, you know, like you said, at some point it's going to happen, right? I mean, unless Mariota way exceeds expectations, Mariota and the team. And so you're counting on him to still hang around. And also, by the way, help the rookie. That's part of his role too, is like, okay, so now it's the rookie's turn. Marcus, yeah. Now I'm counting on you to be the mentor. There you go.
Yeah.
Not his job, not my job to mentor or even give a crap about your team. I'm going to go to Hawaii and get a little massage on my knee.
And by the way, so I got a texture that says, y'all realize his wife went into labor with their first child Friday morning. He announced he was stepping away, right? And I was like, yeah. Wednesday great. Of the next week.
Yeah. Kiss the baby. Name the baby. Go back to your job. Yeah, I'm sorry.
Arthur Smith made it pretty clear as to what's happening here.
Yeah.
This is not – I don't think you've been that upset about it. Had Marcus missed a couple days to go be with his wife and the newborn child.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, that is not what this is. Now, if he comes back, okay, then – but there's no way that Arthur Smith takes it public the way he did.
Yeah.
Unless this is clear that they're done. So –
very interesting situation. 615-737.
You're so happy.
I am not.
You're so happy.
I will reiterate, we love Marcus Mariota here on this program. He's a very good person.
Yeah, you say we because you won't put yourself in there.
It's a bad moment for Marcus, but we love
this
him.
This was a bad moment. I know. 615-737-1025.
615-737-1025. Coming up next, it's time for the Rex Rant with Joe Rexroad. You can check that out every morning at 745. We'll do that next. If you're still looking for Christmas gifts, check out Nashville's Best Deals and get half-off gift cards to Joyland, Old School Pizza, Seafood Sensations, River Queen Voyages, and more. Visit thegamenashville.com/deals now while supplies last. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game.
Sometimes he wakes up on the wrong side of the bed. And sometimes he's just, well, Joe.
Awkward moment, let's do it.
This is the Rex Rant, now on Robbie and Rex Road.
Gonna get to you, girl. Step by step.
And it is that time of the day, time for the Rex Rant with Joe Rexroad here on Robbie and Rexroad. You can check it out every morning at 7:45. Joe Rexroad, I turn things over to you.
Thank you. By the way, Kyle, text line, was like, you guys aren't reading my text. Kyle made the point that Trevor Lawrence is a franchise quarterback. I agree. I think that he's trending in that direction, right?
Way to go, Kyle.
Like if Mike Vrabel had Trevor Lawrence for the next few years, I'd feel, you know, and obviously a lot of other things that go into a football team winning, but I would feel like there'd be a decent chance of high-level success.
Especially if they had Evan Ingram with them, yeah.
Based well,
we saw the other day.
Yeah, Evan Ingram against Vrabel's current defense. Yes. As constructed.
Yes.
Which doesn't have a lot of its, I think, what, they have five starters?
Correct.
On the field Sunday. Okay, so today, am I going to the well too often here?
This is your rant.
It's fine. If you think I'm going to the well too often here, you can say so.
No.
You hate Mariota, and you think I talk about Jared too much.
I love when you talk about Jared.
But I have to – this is going to – everybody bear with it. This is a little bit longer clip, but I do have a point to make after this. Roll the tape.
It's one of three things. Four if you count the Green Bay plane, which I'm going to be honest. Joe Retro take shamed me on the Green Bay plane thing. And the more, like, this Green Bay plane thing does not, people who have coached in football or have been general managers in football or who have, you know, have infinitely more experience than Joe are not ruling out the Green Bay plane.
I'm not ruling out the Green Bay plane.
So when Joe takes shames us about the Green Bay plane, just remember that. I mean, even Lombardi. Ian, can we get that Lombardi where he was on Mad Dog on Friday? And this is Mike Lombardi, who worked with Belichick in Cleveland, and he was the general manager with the Raiders, and he went back to the Patriots, and he worked for Belichick there. I mean, he's a longtime football guy. Now, Floyd, you know, was not a Lombardi fan. But this is what Lombardi said on Mad Dog on Friday about this.
I think for Tennessee, look, they're not a talented team. They fired their general manager this week. If you go through
the draft, why'd they do that? Why'd they do that?
I would think, to me, this is more about the plane ride home from Green Bay after they won that game. There's a rule that you're not allowed to have alcoholic beverages on the plane, okay? And what happened, I think, ultimately, Todd Dowling got a DUI on his way home. That's fact. So something happened on that airplane. And the guy who's in charge of controlling those things, who's put in charge by the ownership group, is the general manager. So
why did you wait 2 weeks and not fire right on the spot, if that's the case?
Well, I think they did an investigation. I think the league's been investigating it, too. I think the league went into it. Now, we'll hear something. It's the same thing like when we had this conversation about Dan Snyder, and I said that Goodell's working behind the scenes to get this sold because we know it's going to be bad. We find out yesterday how bad it is. And so we know he's going to sell the team now. So there's things that happen behind the scenes that don't always necessarily come right out. If he was going to get fired for bad drafts, which he's had a lot of bad drafts, he would have been fired in the offseason, but they gave him a contract extension in the offseason. So something triggered the firing.
So, I mean, like, that's what a football... So Joe can sit there and be like, you guys don't know anything, but clearly football people are talking about the Green Bay plane. So it's either power struggle, mm-hmm. Green Bay plane, mm-hmm. The owner got mad about Philadelphia, or the owner just decided right then and there that was that. The only scenario... Like, and I'm not rooting for this. The only scenario with which I don't think the Titans are poorly run is the Green Bay plane. Like, the misconduct element of, hey, he did it, or he did something he wasn't supposed to do, or he lied about something, or an investigation turned up something. Like, if that's the case, fine, then you got to go. But if it's just as simple as the owner got mad during the Philadelphia game because the Philly fans were turning around and flipping her the bird during the game, well, I don't want that person in charge of making major decisions for the franchise going forward. And there's no way to veto that person out of office. I mean, she's in there. And that's the scary part about all this is whatever it may have been, the end result is 99% of the time bad for what's next for the football team.
Okay, so... Michael Lombardi, it is true that he was in the NFL. He's been an executive. He's been a director of player personnel. He was a GM of the Browns. He was with the Patriots. If you listen to that clip, he has no – if you have someone who has tried to find out what happened or who has some knowledge, all right, I'm listening. If you have someone who – because they used to be in the league, there's some credibility. And sure, there is credibility on NFL Matters with someone who's been in the league. He is not presenting any information he says he's found out or he's heard.
He has no idea what he's talking about.
He's purely speculating like everybody else did. And again, say this again, because Fitz also said this. The first thing I thought, I mean, that's the first thing most people thought, right? Well, what happened? Dude, you can't still be doing the freaking Green Bay plane thing this week. But I have to think, okay? I have to think that this is just Jared.
This is not just Jared. Caroline's right there with him.
Well, that's fair. You're right, and that's the thing. But I think that's, again, it's Stockholm Syndrome again. Like, again, it's just like you're imprisoned by Jared's takes. And like, oh, I can't get out. Help, help. This has to be Jared being the fan who does not want to face, you know, that this, I mean, like, this has all been pretty clearly explained now. You can disagree with it, which I do. You can disagree with the timing, which I do terribly. And whatever you think about it, I mean, again, if there was something that happened, and then you're having all these comments about why you fired him and everything, like, think about that. That makes no sense. You would have no comment about it. You would say this matter is now closed. There's an NDA. This matter is closed. We will not discuss it any further. You would not make up, which is what you're saying she's doing. Not only are you saying, you know, all the issues with her firing, but she is now making up a complete fantasy scenario of she was mad about John Robinson's job performance because actually something happened on the plane from Green Bay.
Meanwhile, Todd Downing still got the job. That's always the other part of this to me. It's like, yeah,
right.
Fired. This idea that you get fired because of what happened on the Green Bay plane home, and Todd Downing's still here calling plays.
Yeah, in an NFL where alcohol flows freely on these planes, which is very easy to detect, it flows freely, folks. There's plenty of video and picture evidence of that. Now, I think this probably changes now.
How about Taylor Heineke with his Bush beer the other day?
Yeah. Well, exactly. I mean, like I would not be surprised at all if there's a small fine for the Titans. And if John Robinson still had his job, which he doesn't have because the owner decided he isn't good at his job, he'd probably get a light reprimand. That's about it. Can we please freaking stop this? I cannot handle this anymore.
Oh, man. Let's go to the text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. Matt, Joe is an idiot. It is the booze on the plane. Idiot. Told you Downing is going to sue the Titans. Idiot. This from Matt. Really well thought out text message there.
Why is Downing going to sue them?
Wow.
Joe, Matt, your response.
I'm trying to. Well, it's bad punctuation in that text, too. It's like, told you Downing is going to sue Titans. Idiot. Wait, are the Titans idiot? Wait, I'm the idiot. Is the booze on the plane? You got to do comma. You do comma, then I'm the idiot. You have no commas here, so I don't know who you're calling an idiot. Is the plane the idiot? I don't know. But thank you, Matt, for weighing in.
Also, that's a nice one. Todd Downing gets the DUI but sues the team.
Yeah, no, that makes sense. No, it's all coming together.
615-737-1025. This has been the Rex Rant with Joe Rexroad. You can check it out every morning at 7:45 here on the program. Coming up next, we'll be joined by Paul Koharski from PaulKoharski.com. We'll get his thoughts on all things Tennessee Titans. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game.